Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, intuition, miracles, and ways to empower your life with the truth of your heart and soul wisdom. And today I am delighted to welcome Nomi Bakar, a former guest on the show and author of her new book, Let the Heart Speak, which shares ways to realign your soul and life into wholeness and true confidence. Nomi, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories and experiences in the hopes of becoming more understanding. And I'm so delighted you're here. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here.
And our guests are learning about both our energetic and physical aspects. So we might engage all challenges with the tools of awareness and higher consciousness and create the life we hope for, as well as discover who we are as spiritual beings having a physical life in search of higher self. In today's episode, Nomi Bakar will touch on a wide range of subjects, relationships, self-love, emotions, celebration, magic, and transformation as we reflect on the wisdom of our human journey towards healing and wholeness. Nomi, you may remember from the last show we did that I always love to start each show by asking my guest to think back to an earlier time, perhaps their childhood, and remember a person, a place, an event, or value that they thought highly of, and that they or others may have expected to be part of their adult life. Because I hear so many wonderful stories that begin so early in people's lives.
Well, what comes to my mind is my elementary school teacher. I was born and raised in Israel, so all of that happened in Israel. And Israel then was some shacks or whatever, was not what Israel is today. It was just kind of the beginning of Israel. And, you know, and our school was a very primitive structure or whatever. But my teacher was always dressed beautifully and carried herself as a very wise, powerful, beautiful woman. And I remember as a young child thinking that I wanted to be like her. And like her meant to me that I am taking care of my physical and internal and intellectual in the best way possible.
Right.
That's what she radiated.
Yes, she radiated confidence and a love of life. When you were talking, you know, I'm an intuitive and I feel things very deeply, and I could see and feel that she gave you a respect for yourself, love for yourself, love for life. It goes way beyond the outside world and the conditions that we live in. It comes from within, and she awakened in you something within your soul energy, perhaps, to know the beauty of yourself in life. I think that's perfect for what we're talking about today.
Yeah, just the possibility of a woman, and we're talking many, many, many years ago, the possibility of a woman to carry herself as a leader, as a lioness, and with great grace and intellectual power and beauty. That imprinted on me that we as women, I took it on, that I as a woman, I can be that.
You can be anything, right?
Regardless,
yes, of gender, religion, race. Yeah, exactly. You know, that brings to mind a story. When I was in school early on, I was in the gifted class, and I was with boys and girls, and we were all treated, as intelligent, creative people. And I never saw the boys as different. I had friends who were boys, friends who were girls, and I have never, and this is rare, felt any restriction to being a woman. I gather experience and intellectual pursuits and challenges as a soul or a spirit or a human being, regardless of any restriction from the outside world. I've never known it. It's probably one of my spiritual gifts, and I try to share that. And when I was a teacher many years ago in elementary school, I treated all the children exactly the same way. I did not impose gender or restriction or limitation in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's what you saw and I saw, and thank goodness we had that at a very young age, because it has helped us to deliver this message in many different ways to the public. So let's go on to tell us about your new book, Let the Heart Speak. Let me just say first, I love the title and I love the picture on the cover of your book, because often people concern themselves with their thoughts and mind-based, ego-based reality and ideas, and they forget that the heart is also talking to them in a way of feeling. So we have to have feeling and thought together. And on the cover of your book, you showed this beautiful young woman in the light, and I felt she was in the light of nature, but spirit was within her. That's what I saw in the picture in the book. So tell us about the three precious gifts bestowed on us by the creative source or force or.
I wrote things that occurred to me emotionally, and I wrote very personally. The book is just very short essay. It's not even essays. It's just I let my heart speak, and I was just speaking about different things and how they moved me and how they impacted me and what, in terms of the gifts that I feel are bestowed on us, the first thing is that we have the ability to feel.
Yes.
This is a tremendous gift. And many times the feelings can be very convoluted, and we have to work to release some of the difficult, dark ones and allow some of the joyful ones to come. The work of the heart is not always easy. It depends on what happened to us and how. But we have the ability to feel. And if we can clear our heart from old traumas and old clouds that wrap around it, the heart is a very joyous, loving, innocent nature. Nature's self. We need to cultivate the heart. So that's one gift. The other gift that we have is the gift of being creative. We can create our reality, and we can create ourselves, and we can create friendships, and we can create amazing things in this life. So creativity is a tremendous gift.
Absolutely. And then expressing that
And
creation or
expressing that
creativity.
gift, yes, is amazing. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing gift. And the last gift is the gift of community. We have people around us that without them, our soul would wither. We need people. We need to laugh with people, to share with people, to cry with people, to create with people, to just be with them and play with them and have a good time. So having community, having other people is a tremendous gift in this life.
Absolutely. I think it's probably the reason a soul chooses a physical life, to come and have all these connections and
right.
ways of giving and receiving love. And you talk about giving and receiving love as the most nourishing and life-affirming exchange. And
yes.
And you give us 10 commandments of loving communication. You know, most people have a great deal of problems in expressing what they feel in their heart, because they think they have to express what other people expect of them. They've been taught that in
right.
childhood. And we have to learn to communicate in an authentic and honest way. And it takes
yes.
effort. So tell us about a few of the 10 commandments of loving communication. First,
well,
you've got to know yourself. That's number one.
Yes, you've got to know yourself. And when you, let's say that you have a hard feeling about, let's say your husband or your spouse or your sister or your brother, they did something and it really rubbed you the wrong way. The first thing you need to do is sit with your emotions. Do not rush to communicate. Sit and find out, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? What am I reacting to? What is this reminding me of? What am I needing? What am I wanting? Was I hurt? What, you know, sit and find out what's going on inside of you and have a little inner dialogue with yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you give yourself that attention and you lovingly kind of contain and embrace yourself with the possible hurt or whatever it is that happened, you soften the reaction.
Exactly.
So
you avoid reactivity. You want to be more proactive and
yes.
not react, because react is not going to make you feel much better. Whatever
right.
is welling up within you is probably a remembrance of an experience that happened to you, and it's just a trigger that has been pressed. And maybe it's still within you, and if you understand it, you see it, you know where it comes from, it will be
right.
less important, and you'll be able
yes.
to finally release it. You also
right.
say to cultivate, and this is very important, empathy. In other words, to know what that person who is acting a certain way that's making you uncomfortable, why they may be acting that way. It's their issue or personality or problem, any way you
right.
look at it, but it is affecting you, because we all affect each other. We're all interconnected to each other's energy and experiences. And every
okay.
one of us on this planet is going to experience, you know, childhood and illness and loss and all these emotions and experiences. No one's really that different. We're more similar than we are different.
Yes.
And empathy just means to remember how you feel, so you'll be a little gentler to the other person and let them feel it and go through their own experience without throwing too much of your judgment
right.
onto them. Yeah.
And then
it's important.
Let's say that you sat with yourself and you got clear about what you're feeling, and you gave yourself some love. You gave yourself some empathy to yourself, and now you are ready to talk to them. When you talk to them, you want to always ask for right time, right place. Don't just because you want to talk to them, don't just come to them when they're in the middle of, I don't know, writing
they're,
a paper,
right.
something, doing something that...
Preoccupied, right.
Preoccupied. Ask them, say, I'd like to talk to you. What would be a good time, a good space? Create that with them. So that's important. And when you sit and talk, this is the third thing that's important. Speak from the eyes. I feel, I think, I want, I need. Do not point the finger into the you. You have done, you have said, I, you know. That never works. But if you just very simply, authentically, from the heart, say, you know, when that happened, I felt a little hurt, or I felt such and this and this and that, so that the person is not feeling attacked.
Threatened, right. Yeah, very important. Thank you for saying that. Thank you very much for making that so very clear, because most people, when they're threatened themselves or wounded or have a button pushed, react that way. And we have to learn to detach from the moment and experience, and as you say, give us self time to absorb it, digest it,
right,
let it quiet down, and then approach a discussion or
then
communication
approach,
that can make good change.
Right. And approach from not being righteous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not attacking, not blaming, not dumping. Just describing an experience. When that happened, this is what arose in me. I had this feeling of that feeling of that.
Well, that's empathy.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, just express what happened for you emotionally.
All right.
The other person is more inclined to take you in because you're not attacking them.
Yes, and they can open their own heart, and they may
right.
say something to you that will help them release something that made them act that way, and you will understand it, and they will be also helped and free of something they've been carrying a long time, which really had nothing to do with you at all.
To do with you, right,
yeah.
right. But, you know, after you spoke, allow them, you can just ask, do you know what I'm, you don't have to agree with me, but do you understand what I felt? And, you know, if they said yes, that's great. Again, if they don't have to agree or they don't.
You know, if they say no, they don't, and they don't want to discuss it anymore, at that point you have to accept that also. You've made the effort. We can all make the effort to help ourselves and others. Sometimes it will be respected and honored, and other times people are not ready yet.
Right.
But that's okay. Right. We have plenty of times, eons
that's
and eons
okay.
of lifetimes of learning to go forward.
And if they do say, yes, I understand you, I don't agree with you, but I understand, I
mm-hmm.
know exactly what you mean.
That's good.
Then invite them to share their experience. And do the same thing. Listen, try to be in their shoes for a minute and allow them to express what it is that happened for them.
Okay. Let's tell our listeners a little bit more about your background. You told us that you started off in Israel when Israel was first developing, and it's become...
Yes.
A very important leader in the world, and we work cooperatively with Israel, and
right.
it is in the Middle East, a stable democracy, and at that time, you know, the Israeli people have worked long and hard to grow
right.
that nation, and
right.
Tell us a little bit more about your background and what your focus or desire is to bring into the world in these challenging times. And you come from a challenging time in that
yes.
beginning
right.
nation. So
right.
tell us about that.
Well, I went to the army, just like all young people, and fought a war and all of that. I mean, I think the wars that kind of like accompanied me when I was a young person made me very passionate about peace and about people not hurting each other. But after the war, I went to the Academy for the Performing Arts, and I became a very sought-after actress. And I performed in the best, really, with the best theaters, and got a grant at some point to come and study in New York City with a famous teacher and actor. She's not living any longer. Her name was Uta Hagen. And that's how I came as a young person. And I had a life of a performer. And at some point, I got disappointed of the life of an actor in New York City. It's a very rough life. And I got a message. I was getting very clear messages that I need to find a different path for myself. Mm. And my therapist of then said to me, "You know, Naomi, you're a born therapist. I don't understand why you're not doing that." And first, I kind of went, "No, I'm an actor. I'm a creative."
Well, we can be many things. We have many spiritual
gifts.
I know, but
gifts. You know, as a young person, I said,
"You
I'm
couldn't
a, I'm an
see
artist.
That yet." But let me tell you something very interesting. My daughter was a professional child actress for 10 years, and you know, hearing you express that, I think I saw the talent and creativity in her at a very young age, and I wanted to foster that and allow her to have the opportunity, because I think it's all a way of opening up to learning to know ourselves and the many gifts we have. So I find it interesting that you say that. And you also said you remember Whitney Houston, who was a great, beautiful, loving artist who lost her battle to stress and addiction. And
right.
you give a summary of some of the elements that cause stress in us as young people in whatever career or field we're in. There are stresses as we're trying to know ourselves, learn about ourselves, and be productive or purposeful in life. So what are some of the stresses that might cause us to have difficulty?
Well, I want to just complete your first question. I started training as a psychotherapist in a very creative and expressive modalities, and because I wanted to marry my knowledge of expression, my knowledge of body and emotions and creativity into the kind of processes counseling that I was doing. And that's what I did. I was able to create a wonderful way of working. It's called Gates of Power. It's a method and a program that works with meditations and spirituality, with all the creative arts, with emotional processes and energetic understanding, and actionable map of all areas of life. So I think that my background as an artist and the suffering that I went through as a young person all got mixed up in a wonderful way in the blender of the soul and created the ability for me to be the kind of healer and counselor and leader
and communicator that you are today. Yeah, bringing the three levels of being, the spirit, the soul, and the personality together, and that's what your book, The Seven Gates of Power, is about, and how you have expressed that there are seven needs that all human beings have. And of course, the way to find this, which are security needs, social needs, physiological needs, cognitive needs, aesthetic needs, self-actualization, and spiritual needs, is through the combination of the mind and the heart. And you express that so very well. Can you give us an example of a person who you have worked with and how they were able to resolve an issue that might have been challenging for them?
Yeah, I have so many. I've been doing this for 27 years. But what comes to my mind is a young guy who came to me. He was 26, and he never had a girlfriend in his life. And he was very, obviously very upset about that. But as we worked through the meditations and the visualizations, and the emotional pathways, we realized that his heart was very, very blocked. And when we went down into the heart to find what has happened, we realized that his father died in a very abrupt way when he was 6.
Yeah.
And yes, and that sense of such a quick abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
He was very attached to his father. And so by opening up the pain, first of all, and allowing all the pain to come through, because he blocked the pain. I mean, in one of his...
Yeah, the subconscious does that.
Yeah, to protect, mm-hmm. because as a young child, possibly you cannot deal with that amount of pain and
yeah.
grief. So, you know, the psyche defends itself. So, but as an older person, especially in therapeutic environment, we opened up a lot of pain, a lot of grieving had to come up first. And then the understanding that he's still connected with his dad.
Yes.
That death does not sever a connection. We worked on re-finding that connection.
That was excellent,
and when,
yes.
And then when he did, all of a sudden he could love again.
But you helped him release a fear, and you also taught him a great truth. If he was able to understand that we're more than our physical body, and our life survives physical death, our consciousness survives physical death, you gave him the greatest gift that there is. So I want to thank you, Nomi Bakar, author of Let the Heart Speak, a book that shares ways to open your heart awareness to new perceptions of life that can empower and change or transform your energy so you can engage a new range of ideas about relationships, self-love, emotions, celebrations, magic, and the majesty of life and love. For more information and to purchase this practical, innovative way to know yourself, to know your heart, to know your soul, to know life, go to gatesofpower.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have shared many new ways to engage our heart and find out what inspires us so we may begin, perhaps, to discover our life path or destiny and enlarge a framework for wisdom and also peace, inner peace, as we move on our journey to wholeness and heal the traumas or misbeliefs of our earlier childhood life and begin to revel in the magic of joy, happiness, and awareness of who we are and the possibilities for creating an authentic and healthy life, which is already within our energy and soul aspects. Nomi and I would hope you begin to recognize that while being human and alive may at times be a risky business, there are possibilities for being wounded or hurt around every corner. Still, we all retain the quality of courage and a built-in urge for growth that urges us to seek balance and harmony. We may always ask for help when necessary, and look for ways to move past stress, anxiety, disconnection, and find our way forward beyond any challenge to wholeness. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about leaders in the fields of metaphysics, science, spirituality, medicine, energy healing, religion, the arts, and music, as we explore the human and divine condition to improve our lives and simply live with love. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.